Hello, listeners, and welcome to our second Winter Olympics special. Qualifying for an Olympics is far from easy, but for Britain's top biathlete, Amanda Lightfoot, a number of external pressures made it doubly hard. Thanks to Federation upheaval back in April, Amanda has had to self-fund and manage her logistics, all while dedicating herself to full-time training. As a result, she has hardly been to her South Shields home, as she looked to qualify for her second Olympic Games after initially making her debut in Sochi 4 years ago. Of course, it helps when you have a military background in terms of determination and never quitting, and all the hard work paid off. This year, Amanda will be Britain's sole biathlete representative over in South Korea. In this episode, Amanda takes us through her sport, the journey she has taken to get to the Games, as well as how her experience in the army has proved invaluable. We hope you enjoy. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us on another of our Winter Olympics specials. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
So, Olympic Games are obviously not that far off at all now. So, for you, is the excitement starting to build?
Yeah, definitely. I think the excitement started on Monday last week when I got to the Kitten Out experience in Adidas down in Stockport. So, going in there, they had this like welcome video and it was showing all the Olympians and from previous Olympics as well. And I was on the video and then I was like, whoa. And it gives you like a real sense of like belonging and, you know, being part of Team GB was really, really cool. It was a really nice experience. And that was when it was sort of setting in, I think, getting all the kit and you're like, whoa, okay, I'm going to the Olympics.
Yeah. And that's the moment, I suppose, it becomes real. But the journey for you and regarding qualifying has kind of been far from easy with regards to federation upheaval as well. Just how tough has the qualifying process been for you?
Oh, yeah, it's been definitely a journey. Over these last years, I think I've just had to really find just stay focused and try and like do what I like, trying to control what I could control. I think a lot of situations that was happening over the summer and over this year, getting the news of the federation that was almost like disbanding back in the beginning of April was a big blow, and we didn't know if there was going to be a new federation in place and if we could start the season. We had no sponsor as well, so there was a lot of worry and a lot of stress. And again, that combined with the intense training I'm doing every day, it was sometimes quite stressful for the summer. I had to try and block it out. But I got a really good psychologist on board as well, helped me quite a bit dealing with some of the pressures and overcoming some of the situations that was happening throughout the summer. And he helped me like trying to sort of stay cool and, like I said, control what I could control and, you know, try to make the best situation out of what was happening.
Yeah, and we're sort of the logistics side of things and the organising side of things, were those some of the hardest things you had to deal with? Or was the hardest thing perhaps that mental side and trying to stay focused on what you could do?
It was a bit of both, I think I'd say. Like, definitely trying to keep the focus during sessions when you know, because without having a team manager and someone who was controlling all the movement side of getting to around the camps and also on the World Cup, like sometimes I'd find myself coming into the range and I'd be like, oh, I need to book that flight for that camp. And, you know, things like that, you've got to also, like, they're always running through your mind. So it was trying to block out all the stuff I needed to do while I was training, making a lot of to-do lists and, quite a bit of goal setting in the sense of what I could do. But I think sometimes it did affect me, of course, but it's what I needed to do to complete the road to the Olympic Games. So I just had to take it on board and get through it.
Yeah, and a lot of living abroad as well and going around a whole bunch of countries trying to make the grade. Has that been an easy thing for you, or is living out of a suitcase kind of quite a difficult thing?
No, definitely. It's definitely a challenge living out of a suitcase. You never really know what to pack. And it's even though I've been doing this for so many years, it still gets to the start of the season. I'm like, and I have to organise everything on the bed of what I need and what was going to fit and what doesn't fit and where I can place things. So definitely a challenge deciding what to pack for the winter. For the Olympic Games, that's almost pretty much really easy because it's already, you know, Adidas is the main sponsor there and everything that we go to the Olympic Games is Adidas. So that was pretty, makes things a little easier. But I think, travelling around a lot, I mean, it's exciting as well. You go to new places with new races and, you know, there's thousands of people watching you. So it kind of takes away some of the sort of the downfalls of living out of a bag, as you say. But I think I'm kind of used to it now.
Mm-hmm. So reversing back to the beginning of your biathlon career, and I believe you started after joining the British Army's Adjutant General Corps as a clerk at the age of 19 while serving in Iraq. What made you give it a try, and what is it about the sport that grabbed you?
So I joined the Army when I was 16, and I was part of the AGC Corps, and I did do a tour in Iraq, you're right. I was out there for 6 months, and when I came back, it was then that following winter that they were asking for, you know, fit individual females from different regiments to join the AGC Nordic ski team, and I got selected to go and join this. And it's quite a funny story, because obviously when I went out there, I was expecting to go downhill skiing at first, actually. I really thought, because I'd never even heard of Nordic skiing in my life, or seen it, or, you know, I never even knew of the sport. And so it was quite a shock when they brought out these really skinny skis, and, you know, you've got a rifle on your back, and you've got to ski uphills as well as down. So, but I think for me, it was overcoming the challenges and every day and trying to get better. And I think once I went to the British Championships that following January in Rupalden, then I was best novice in pretty much all the races, actually. And it was then I was like, whoa, this is really cool, and I really enjoyed myself and just wanted to get better. And then I got selected for the development team. And then from there, it was just perfecting it and wanting to be better every time and overcoming, like, all of the stages to become a British biathlete. And ultimately, my goal was to be the best in Britain, and now it's almost sort of to be one of the best in the world. So it's crazy how your goals change the more you do the sport and the more you want.
Yeah, and you mentioned tours of Iraq there and your army military background. Is there anything you've taken out of those tours and your military that you've taken into the sport as well and that you can apply to the sport?
Yeah, but definitely. I think the mental toughness. A lot of people say that I'm quite low. My like international friends on different teams, they always like comment on like how mentally tough I am when it comes to pushing to new limits and pain in training sessions. And I think, you know, that's part of what the military has gave me. Definitely I think my military background has helped a lot in my sport, really, just to be able to push my body and to have the discipline as well. What the military gives you, they have the confidence, discipline. It's a lot of things I think I've gained from the military that I've been able to put in the sport, which is why I think I've been able to perform to the standard, having not skied as a child.
And with regards to, because obviously you've got to be quite fit to be in the military, how does fitness levels for normal military compare to the fitness levels you need to actually be a biathlete?
Oh, it's definitely a different kind of fitness. I mean, you can the fitness levels in the army are also high, but I think to be a world class athlete, it's definitely another level. You know, because in the military, you've got to focus on also, you know, doing your job and being a soldier, and also fitting in fitness throughout the week. Whereas athlete is, it's a full time fitness job. You know, I'm training 5 to 6 hours each day, physical endurance training, strength training, and there's so many other sports. I was talking to someone the other day and actually realised that I actually do over 7 different kinds of sports throughout the summer in order to become a biathlete in the winter. Everything sort of, you know, the cycling, the running, the rowing, the strength training, the plyometrics training, the track. You know, I do a lot of other sports, and that all combines to being an athlete. I'm definitely at a very high fitness level, I'd say, at the moment. I mean, as you've read as well, you know, cross-country and biathlon is probably the most enduring sport out there, I'd say.
At what point did competing at a Winter Olympics become a major goal for you?
I'd say 2010 was when it first sort of entered my mind. So I started skiing in 2007 and on the Barcelona development squad up in Scotland, and then 2008 I was on the national team racing on the IBU Cup. 2009 I did the full IBU Cup circuit, and I'd actually qualified for World Cup that year as well. And it was 2010 when the other girls on the team were, you know, doing the tryouts for the Winter Olympics. And then that's when I think it first sort of entered my mind, and I was like, okay, in 4 years, I want to be an Olympian. And then that was my goal from 2010 to 2014. And I had small goals underneath that to be the best in Britain, and then to make the pursuits on the World Cup, to enter the top 40 and ultimately then go to the Olympics. And I achieved all the goals I'd set out to achieve. So that was really cool.
Yeah, exactly, because you ended up competing for Britain at the Sochi Games, finishing 71st in the 15-kilometre individual event and 75th in the 7.5-kilometre sprint, which sounds like a long sprint to me, but whatever. How did an Olympics compare to any other competition you'd done before?
I think everything, it's the pinnacle of the sport, isn't it? The Olympic Games is the pinnacle, and everyone will say this, and everything that's building up over the 4-year cycle, it's the ultimate race. You're wearing the rings on your chest, you're all part of one team, like Team GB, and everyone's all there together in the environment, and it's definitely a different experience. Sochi was really a really cool experience for me, my first Olympics, and I learned a lot from there, and all the changes that I've made over the last 4 years is what's going to make me an even better athlete at Pyeongchang.
And that brings me perfectly onto my next question, which was, after featuring in 2014, does that experience put you in a far better place this time around?
Definitely. Yeah, I've learned a lot. I learned a lot from Sochi. I think, you know, going to Sochi in 2014, having only, you know, been on skis for 6 years, you know, I think for other countries, it would be quite well that, you know, it's fast from novice to Olympian. So going out there, I think I wasn't experienced. I didn't really know what to expect. I think I got sucked up in a lot of the stuff I shouldn't have been sucked up in. I learned a lot, like the tracks and the shooting. I learned so much actually from the Olympic Games, and which brings me on to the last 4 years now. You know, I've got had a new coach in place. I've got a great trainer and shooting coach. I've got a psychologist, a nutrition sponsor on board, Totem Sport. They're really helping me, and there's everything that I've done now this year, these last 4 years, to perfect is definitely what's going to make the difference going into Pyeongchang, and which gives me a lot more confidence than over the previous Olympics to now.
And you mentioned all those different components to the team behind you, and obviously every time an athlete is successful, it's never just them, there's always someone in the background as well. How important are those guys to you?
Definitely. I mean, definitely. I think my coach Wolfgang Pickler, he is the head coach of the Swedish team as well, and he's really nurtured me into becoming a real professional athlete. What we think professional athletes should be in, you know, the small nation as we are, to what actually we need to do to be able to compete against the rest of the world, is a big learning curve for Great Britain as a whole. So he's definitely nurtured me into being an athlete. My trainer, Laurie Madeline, he's helped massively over the last 2 years with the shooting content of it and just being there every session. And it's having someone on the range every day and being able to, you know, spot what's going wrong and how to change everything. It really makes a difference. The sports psychologist, that's another big addition to me as an athlete. Speaking with them and overcoming different problems and getting new solutions and setting goals, Paul has really helped me with that. And the nutrition definitely is vital. What nutrition supplement you take changes everything in the way you train, the way your body recovers. And I've managed to find Totem Sport, who I really believe in, actually really helping me to perform and also to recover fast. So all the components together really is what makes, you know, the ultimate sort of athlete. Yeah. When you can bring it everything in.
Yeah, and that's what brings the results in the end.
So, exactly, yeah.
So obviously we're recording this on Friday, which is 2 weeks to the day that the Olympics starts. What is the goal for you this time around?
So my goal now is, I'm not going to, you know, this comes down to my psychologist as well. He's really told me about sort of expectations and setting goals, you know, two different things. I'm expecting something to happen. It's not going to happen unless you've set your goals. So ultimately, I'd love to have the best result for a female for GBR. That is definitely a goal that I can achieve. And also the main goal is to just do my process, do what I do in training, and focus on the technique side, and have full focus when I go into the range. And ultimately, if I can do all those things, the results will be great.
When you get to that competition, how do you approach it mentally? Do you try and keep yourself as calm as possible, or do you always have those goals and those achievements in your mind at all times?
No. You've got to really sort of think of it as it's another race in a sense. And I think that's the way I'm thinking about going and dealing with it. I've got to see it as another race and not put too much pressure on myself in the start line or going around, because as soon as you focus on something else and not the job that you need to do, then that totally takes your mind off it. And that's where, you know, athletes make mistakes and things go wrong and the what ifs start happening.
Yeah. And obviously, as we've mentioned, biathlon is clearly a very demanding sport with skiing and shooting. And sticking with kind of the mental battles you go through, when you're skiing and shooting, do you have to switch your approach to each bit, or is it trying to stay as consistent as possible?
No, you have to be able to switch your mindset. So on the course, you know, you're racing around, giving it everything. That's in your body. And as you come into the range, you need to be able to sort of slow that pace down and switch your mindset to focus on the range. And, you know, in the process of the range, is only 30 seconds from getting on the mat, getting the rifle off, loading the magazine, getting in position, shooting 5 targets at 50 metres, rifle on the back and back off the mat onto the course. That's all done in just 30 seconds. So it's very exciting to watch. And the range is what changes the race in biathlon. You know, having the shooting, you know, you miss a target in a sprint, you do a 150-metre penalty. You miss a target in individual, and it's a minute added onto your time, which can be the difference between winning and 40th place. It ultimately changes the race the whole way through. You've got to be able to change the focus, definitely.
You mentioned how crucial the shooting aspect is there. Is that perhaps the most improved part to your game over the last few years?
Yeah, definitely. I think I lost sight of my shooting a little bit the last 2 years, if I'm honest. I was fully focused on the training and getting all the hours in, and it was so intense with my trainer. I didn't have anyone on behind the scope or to be able to come to the sessions with me and watch down the range and see where I'm going wrong and try to perfect things. And now, you know, I've been very lucky to be able to work with Ilario, and he's been there like every day with me on the range and even in some of the training sessions. You know, you need someone there. You need a trainer there full time, and as well as you know, a head coach developing the plan. And that's the difference that I've done over these last 4 years as well.
And it's well documented that Britain are sending their biggest ever team this year to the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Is that extra? Yeah, great news. But is that extra spotlight on you slightly daunting, or is that something you really think you can thrive on?
No, I think for me, I'm not like really high in the spotlight. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on some of the athletes to, you know, medal potentials and medal hopefuls, and, you know, so it kind of takes a bit of pressure off when you know, that's not there for you, and you can just go out and do your job, and if it happens, it happens, and, you know, then it's I think the less pressure, the better on that sense for me personally.
Yeah, and lastly, out of absolutely everything that you could face at this Winter Olympics, what is it that you're looking forward to the most?
Getting on the start line and racing and becoming, you know, an Olympian, two-time Olympian. It'll be an amazing feeling to get across that finish line and have the result that I've been working for the last 4 years.
Yeah, and it's a real badge of honour to have that two-time Olympian to your name.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah, best feeling ever. Definitely.
Absolutely. And thanks so much again for joining us, Amanda, on this Winter Olympics special, and just to tell us about your sport and the training you've had to go through and actually making it to this Winter Olympics for the second time in your career. And we wish you all the very best when that competition day actually arrives.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
It's a massive thanks to Amanda again for joining us, and we wish her all the very best when it is her time to perform. Feedback, of course, is very welcome, and you can follow us on social media All of our pages are Sportspiel Pod. That is the end for this episode, but join us tomorrow where myself and my partner in crime, Will Moulton, will be bringing you a discussion episode on some of the major topics at Pyeongchang, including North and South Korea uniting in ice hockey and the Court of Arbitration for Sport's decision to lift a lifetime ban for Russian athletes.